Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalm 119, longest chapter in the whole Bible. Now, don't worry about it. We're not going to cover the whole chapter today, all right? Some of you are like, oh, man, it's a great time to sleep. Or some of you are like, oh, no, we got to get on the ball field. Hey, I passed it this morning. It's already set up for whatever's going on next, okay? So I'm sure that we're going to have a great day, excited about it. And my girls are always asking me, what's happening today? JJ was so excited yesterday. She was trying to explain to me the blowgun. She went and did the blowguns or blow darts or whatever y'all call it. And she was excited about that. I took her the day before to slingshots. And my girls are small. You've seen them. And they think it's big stuff just being out there and watching you all. Or some of you have taken time to try to talk to the girls and things like that. And they really have enjoyed getting to know you. All right. We're in Psalm. You there yet? All right. All right. Psalm 119. Today we're in verse number 105, a verse that you've probably memorized, a verse that you could probably quote, and so if you can't, go ahead, you can read it, but if you can, let's try, all right? Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. Father, I pray that you help us this morning in the few minutes we have together. I pray that you help it to be practical. I pray that you would help it to be simple and understandable. And I ask that you would help open our minds and hearts to the Word of God. I need you. We need you. And I pray that you continue your working that you have all week. And I ask this in Jesus' name and through Jesus' blood, amen. You know, for years, I have heard, really since I was a teenager, I have heard this statement. You need to find God's will. How many of you have heard something like that? All right, you put your hands down. And you do need to find God's will. But here's the problem. When we say something like that, here's what we think. We think, uh-oh, what if I don't find God's will? Uh-oh, what if I, you know, find something, but it's not all the way God's will? What if I miss God's will? Okay, first of all, what is God's will? God's will is really what God wants for you. And a lot of times, as teenagers, you are asking yourselves questions like, who will I marry? What will I do when I get out of school? What will I do when I get out of college? Where will I go? What will be my job? Where will I live? What kind of car will I drive? All right? You have your dreams. You have your desires. But this morning, I wonder, is it possible to find God's will? So God's will is not just, okay, I hope that you can figure it out. That's not the way God's will works. God's will is not you searching, and just hoping eventually you're going to stumble on it. I don't know why we as preachers have made it so hard over the years, but even when I was a teenager, I had the idea after sitting in camp after camp, summer after summer, and I've been going to camp since I was 2 months old, all right? So I know camp, I've heard camp, and I've always heard the will of God described like this. Well, you need to search hard. You need to look hard for God's will. And I, as a preacher, am going to pray that you find it. Okay, just so you know, it's not what the Bible says. Just so you know, it's not a hide-and-seek type thing. Just so you know, it's not as hard as we have described it. The will of God is simply what God wants for your life. That's the will of God. All right, so what does God want? Does God want the same thing for the blue team as he does for the red team or the green team? Or does God want the same thing as for you as the person sitting next to you? Does God want the same thing for you as he has for your parents? What is God's will? What does God want for your life? Now, I believe within the next 30 minutes, I can tell you from the Bible what God wants for your life. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if you could walk out of here and say, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what the rest of my life's going to be like. I know everything that I'm supposed to know. Well, first of all, don't miss this. God's will for you is simply what God wants for you. And if you do not understand the simplicity of God's will, you will make it so hard and complex that you end up taking your eyes off God. Most young people are so consumed with finding God's will for their life, or they don't care, but the ones that want to find it often are so consumed with afraid or fear that they're going to miss it, that they don't understand how simple God's will is. The book of Jeremiah will say that before God made Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, God knew about Jeremiah when Jeremiah was in his mother's belly. He said that God formed him there. God knew him personally. And understand this. When God made you, God already had a plan for your life. Did you know that? Some of you think, well, that plan sure isn't starting off well. The plan God has for me in the future, man, I think God missed something about what's supposed to happen today. He didn't miss anything. He knew everything that you're going to deal with, everything you're going to go through, and he has a plan, not just for 5 years from now, but for today. So how do you find the will of God? Or maybe we could put it this way, how to actually love the life that you live. Because following God's will, what God wants for your life, doing that, finding that, if we can use that word, doing that is the only way that you can love your life. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, all right? That's where we were last night. Psalm chapter 1 is a great place to start. Now, last night when we looked at Psalm 1, we looked at the ungodly man and the steps to failure, the steps to sin, the steps to ungodliness. Hanging around the wrong influences, then being a part of the wrong influences, and then leading the wrong influences. But this morning, look at what it says in Psalm 1, verse number 1. Let's look at the other side of it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Hey, you want to find God's will? You have a pen and paper. You need to write this down. You want to find God's will? I love this. This is the first step. Follow God's word. You say, well, duh. No. Follow God's word. You want to find what God wants for your life? You are going to have to get into the Bible and do what God says do. You want to find what God has for your life 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Well, God's will for your life, both 10 years from now and today, is the exact same. Follow God's word. Get this. God's will for your life, God's plan for your life, will never be different than what God's word says. You say, oh, that's too simple. God never makes things hard. Never. You say, well, listen, are you saying that I have to be in the Bible every single moment of every single day? Actually, that's not a bad idea, but that's not what God says. God actually says that what he gives us in his word is for my help, is for my success, is for my growth. And God tells us in the word, he says these things that you may grow thereby. He also tells us that his word is to nurture us. He tells us that his word is what we follow to be successful. Remember the illustration last night in Psalm 1 of the tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do it shall prosper. He's clearly telling us that God's word is the very first step to finding God's will. Understand this. God will never lead you in his will to do something against the Bible. I often talk to young people all across America, and they say things like this: well, God wants me to do this, but it's not in agreement with the Bible. Let's put it this way. Maybe this will help for illustration. I often meet teenagers that are looking to get their first job, and they say something like this: well, it's okay, Brother Glenn. I'm getting older. I need to get a job, and that job requires me to work on Sunday. Sorry, I can't do church anymore. Don't expect to find God's word, God's will, if you will not follow God's word. He tells us in the Bible, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. By the way, it's one thing if there's an emergency. It's something else if you just choose to disregard God's word. You say, well, listen, does that mean that I have to limit where I work? I think that's a good idea. Why don't you work at a place if you have to get a job that they're not open on Sunday? Chick-fil-A is not open on Sunday. Or how about this? How about you just make it clear, I can't work on days that there are services in my church. Some of you are saying, hey, listen, I'm getting ready to go off to college. Make sure you don't skip out on church. These are just illustrations. But the Bible is full with what God wants for you. But if you want God's will, God's plan for your life tomorrow, yet you choose to disregard what God says in the Word of God for today, don't expect to be in God's will tomorrow. You want to find God's will? You want to love your life? It must start with you making a conscious choice every time the Bible is preached, every time you open the Bible, every time you hear God's Word read. You must make a conscious choice that you're going to follow God's Word. Oftentimes I meet teenagers, and they say things like this, usually after a service. Well, I know what the Bible says, but God doesn't understand my situation. What? You realize that he made you, right? You realize that he sees all, right? You realize that he already knows even your birthday and death date and everything in between. You realize God knows everything? I think God understands your situation. So stop trying to dictate what God says for your life and just choose to follow what God already said in the Bible. If you truly want to find God's will, God's plan for you, follow the Bible. Make sense? Sometimes we make it so hard. You say, well, what does that mean? Young person, understand that the Bible truth of you choosing to obey your parents is still part of obeying the Bible.
It's good.
And some of you say you want God's will for your life in the future. You want God's plans. Understand that God's plan and you doing God's plan is the only way to be successful, but it's also the only way to love life. But if you want that for the future, but you're unwilling to obey dad and mom now, you will never have the joys of following God's will, God's plan for your life later. You need to be in God's word now, following God's word now, being obedient to what he says now. And just the simple truths of obeying your parents, honoring your parents, and being in church, just those are just simple illustrations how often we disregard what God says to do what we want to do. Get this, life and you being here on this earth is not about you. Sorry, it's not a Disney World. You say, well, I want what's best for me. You want what's best for you? Do what's best for God. And that is following God's word. You say, okay, so I follow God's word, but what about God's will? All right, go to Psalm 119. Notice what he says in verse number 105. By the way, he's already told us to follow his word in Psalm 1. He continues and tells us in Psalm 40, verse number 8, he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. In other words, when I am following God's word, I will find myself wanting to do God's will. So you want to choose to follow God's word? Then you can find yourself finding God's will. All right, so how do you love your life? Number one, follow God's word. Number two, find God's will. You say, okay, that's the issue. That's really what we're here for. We want to find what God has for us. All right, notice what he says in verse number 105 of Psalm 119. That's a verse we've memorized, we know, but I think we've missed what the Bible is really saying. It says here in verse number 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Let's stop there for a minute. What? Thy word? What's thy word? Bible. Is a lamp? In other words, it's showing me right now where I am. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, oftentimes I read this, and when you read the Psalms particularly, you have to understand who wrote many of the Psalms. Who wrote many of the Psalms? Help me out.
David,
all right? What was David before he was a king? Before he was a giant killer? What was he? He was a
shepherd.
All right. Here's the real deep. This is deep. This is, some of you are going to love this. This is deep. All right? Where did the shepherd carry his light when it was dark? I've heard many people say, oh, obviously, he just had a lantern. He carried, really? Okay, then explain Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, you actually read something really unique. It's talking about the Lord being his shepherd, and David talks about God leading him in the valley of the shadow of death. But then he says this. This is intriguing. He says, thy rod and thy staff. You know those are two different things? That's not one thing. The staff is the long thing with the crook on the end that the shepherd uses for the sheep. He uses the crook sometimes to grab the sheep by the neck and pull them back in. Some of you have experienced that this week. I don't mean on the ball field. I mean in the services. You have sensed God working in your heart and saying, you're over there. Why are you over there? Get over here. Some of you this week have felt the other end of the shepherd's staff. You know what it is? It's not just the crook that pulls you back. It's that long end that actually comes up on the rump of the sheep and pops them on the rear, saying, you need to get back in line and follow Jesus. So the shepherd uses the staff only for the sheep. Do you know what the rod is used for? The rod's actually not for the sheep. The rod is actually for defense, to protect the sheep. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't just want to lead you. He wants to protect you. That doesn't mean you'll never face hardships. That means that God is with you at all times to defend you, to continue to walk with you, to continue to fight for you. But you'll never face that leading and protection if you refuse to walk with the good shepherd. If the shepherd has the rod and the staff, one in one hand, one in the other, where does he carry his light? Actually, if you look back in culture, you'll find that there was a special lantern designed by shepherds for shepherds. This lantern actually had shackles on it. This lantern, the shepherd actually would shackle to his leg. It would be above his ankle, but below his knee. When he would walk, that lantern would be lit, and it would be shackled to his foot, so when he would walk, he could see right where he was. And guess what? When he took the next step, he could see where he was then too. And when he took the next step, guess what? You couldn't see way over yonder, but you could see right where you were, and you could see right where you needed to be. Some of you are looking for what God has for you 5 years from now. I want to help you. What God wants for you 5 years from now is the exact same thing God wants for you today. Oh, Brother Glenn, I want to know who I'm going to marry. If you're not willing to follow God today, you will not find who God wants you to marry later. If you are saying, man, I want to know what my job's going to be. I mean, am I going to be flipping burgers at Mickey D's? Or am I going to be the CEO of some big construction company? That doesn't really matter. What does matter is, are you obeying God today? Because if you choose not to be in God's word today and not do God's will today, you won't be in God's will tomorrow. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I ought be. And it needs to show me where I'm going. Get this. God does never show us tomorrow what he has for us tomorrow. But he has already promised to be there tomorrow if you'll simply choose to walk with him tomorrow. And he's promised to be here with you today if you'll just walk with him today. I love my life. I've got to be honest. I'll explain maybe if the Lord will lead me. I'll give you my testimony later this week. But I love my life. I get to travel around the country. And my wife says that it seems like it doesn't matter what happens. I just say, well, it's another day on the road. All right, first of all, that has to be God's goodness. Several years ago, we left Richmond, Virginia, hauling a big rig. And I'm traveling on the road. And I'll never forget looking in my rearview mirror and seeing somebody lose a tire. And then a wheel. And then debris. I thought, good night, poor guy. And I realized it was me. I pulled over on the side. You know what had happened? The theory is that I blew a bearing on my rig. Some of you don't know what that means. Don't worry about it. But I'll tell you what happened. The tire blew up. When the tire blew up, the wheel came off. Steel wheel went up through the floor of my RV and went out the back wall. Then the axle hit the pavement and snapped in half. When I'm standing there at the back of my rig on the side of the interstate in Richmond, Virginia, I thought, you say, no, seriously, that's not how you were. No, it is how I was. You say, weren't you upset? I don't ever remember being upset. Didn't it bother you? That's your home. No. Not really. You say, well, what about the rest of life? Well, I could take you to many different trailer incidents we've had on the road. But I can also take you to physical incidents where I have found myself in a hospital bed. I can take you to times where I thought the whole world was crashing in. But I'm going to tell you honestly, truly, it's been a pretty amazing life. Because whether I'm in a hospital bed, and that's happened, or whether I'm standing there looking at the back end of an RV spread all over the interstate, God's with me. God already knew about this. And I've come to realize that I would never be at this much peace in this kind of a situation if I hadn't chosen to walk with God in earlier situations. And some of you want to figure out who God has for you to marry. And some of you want to figure out what God has for you tomorrow or where you're supposed to go to college. Some of you want to figure all these things out. And get this, You can when you follow God. You say, well, what does it mean when God talks to me? It's that still small voice you hear in your heart when the preacher is preaching and God's saying, do this, or don't do this, don't do this. What you hear in not your ears, but in your heart, and you're moved by the Holy Spirit to say, that's not the way to live. Instead, live this way. You need to choose to respond to it immediately. You say, I don't like that. Young person, if you want to love your life, and if you want to enjoy every minute of it, no matter how good or how bad it is, you're going to have to follow God's word. And then you're going to have to find God's will. And finding God's will is not trying to figure out what God has for you. Finding God's will, get this, here's the secret, is finding God. Some of you are more concerned about tomorrow than you are about walking with God today. But what's God want for me? He wants you to walk with Him. The greatest invitation to man is to trust Jesus for heaven. The second greatest invitation is when God invites you to walk with Him every single day. Brother Glenn, I want to know God's will. God's will is not you finding what God wants you to do. God's will is you finding God. And you know what God promises in the Bible? Get this. This is great. If you seek me, you will find me. But what about tomorrow? What about who God wants me to marry? I want to marry a nice guy, not a guy from camp. I want to marry a pretty girl, but there's only a few and they're taken. Okay, come on. Let me help you out. Stop looking and start seeking God. Don't worry about the rest. Remember we heard yesterday at Director's Howard, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you. I think God has a better plan for your life than you have. I know He has a better plan for my life than I had. But here, when you go back to the Bible, I love this. You want to love your life? Follow God's word. You want to love your life? Find God's will. Well, what's God's will? For you to walk with Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. But lastly, and number three, you follow God's word, you find God's will, who is God. Then you can feast in God's way. I love this. Notice what he says in verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, God doesn't just show me today what He wants for me today. But every step I take in obedience to Him, how He shows me from His Word, to just choose to walk with Him, God leads me to the next step. And the next step, He doesn't say, run the race, and at the end of the race, I'll show up to say, good job. No, He says, I'll be with you every step of the way. He's a lamp unto our feet, right here. And then He's a light unto our path, which is simply the next step. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 84, verse number 11, and we'll be done. Psalm 84 in verse number 11. Psalm 84 in verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun. That almost sounds like the word light from Psalm 119, 105. Then he says, and shield. That almost sounds like Psalm 23. Rod and staff. He goes on and he says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing. Did you get that? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What does that mean? Walk uprightly, following God's word. No good thing will he withhold.
Yeah. When you find God's will, that is actually not a thing. He's a person. And then you can feast in God's way. Young person, there is absolutely no plan in your life that you can make or create that will satisfy you.
Well, I know who God wants me to marry. I mean, I'm telling you, I got it figured out.
I'm going to try to say this as kindly as I can, but you've been fooled. You've been fooled. You do not need the pressures right now of trying to find who you're supposed to marry. You don't need that. And you really, truly, from the Word of God, have no business trying to figure out who you're supposed to marry now. Right now, your business is to focus on drawing close to God. And you seek God and God alone. God will bring the right one into your path at the right time. And let me help you out. It won't be when you're a teenager. Don't worry about the plans. Worry about following the person, Jesus Christ. Because at the end of your life, you can look at your life and say, God didn't hold anything good back from me. Remember, your definition of good is what feels good, what you like. God's definition of good is pure and holy and cannot be compared to anything man would like to create or make up. Young person, do you want God's will? Some of you are saying, Brother Glenn, I'd really like it if you were to talk about how I'm supposed to know who I'm going to marry. Maybe we'll get there. But that's not where you need to be right now. Right now, you need to choose a conscious choice to follow God's word in obedience today so you can be in God's word in obedience tomorrow, so that you're seeking Him and only Him, so that as you continue to seek God and follow God, God leads you to what He says is good, to what He says is godly, and you come to the end of your life and you say, oh man, this has been great. Young person, I've made this statement many times, but I cannot help but make it again. I have run from God, and I have followed God, and only one way satisfies. My Father, I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you would work in the lives of these teenagers. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to understand from Scripture this morning that finding your will is not necessarily about figuring out what you want us to do. But finding your will instead is simply walking with God. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.